News Services Division of Akashvani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Happy Independence Day. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the northeastern part of India, it gets intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me tell you about the excitement in today's episode. Today, we bring to you a report from Imphal, where Manipur observed the 133rd Patriots Day on Tuesday, August 13th, to commemorate the supreme sacrifice of the brave sons of Manipur, who laid down their lives while defying the British Empire in 1891. And we bring a report on the collaborative efforts of the state government to promote dragon fruit cultivation in Mizoram. We also bring to you a report on the handloom weaving culture of Sualkuchi in Assam and Zapami village in Nagaland. But for now, let's go over to Shillong, where Meghalaya government organized state-level celebrations on the occasion of National Handloom Day 2024. The handloom sector in India is one of the country's largest unorganized economic activities. Every year, on August 7th, National Handloom Day is celebrated to honor the rich tradition of handloom weaving. This observation began in 2015, marking the centenary of the Swadeshi movement, which started on August 7, 1905. The theme of this year's celebration is Weaving Sustainable Future and revolves around the importance of sustainable fashion and eco-friendly choices. The Department of Textiles celebrated National Handloom Day 2024 at the U Sosotham Auditorium in Shillong. The event was graced by Textile Minister Ba Paul Lingdo as the chief guest and Dr. Anna Louis Menil, an international textile expert from the Scotland, as the special guest. A Shillong correspondent has filed a report.
The Department of Textiles of the Meghalaya government marked National Handloom Day 2024 on August 7 at the Sosotham Auditorium with a vibrant celebration. Textiles Minister Paul Lingdo praised the progress made in showcasing the state's fabrics and products beyond the villages of Riboy. He highlighted last year's successful venture, taking Meghalaya's textiles from Mofran to Milan, and expressed gratitude to all involved in revitalizing local fabrics.
Today, as we see the fusion of fashion, and today we proudly show to the rest of the world that yes, our fabrics, our products are no longer confined just in the villages of Riboy. Last year we took those fabrics, I might say, from Mathran to Milan. It has been a very interesting journey. I congratulate all stakeholders involved in the process of adding life, color, vision, and imbibing a fresh lease of life to our fabrics.
Lingdo reaffirmed the government's commitment to enhancing the skills of local weavers, artisans and entrepreneurs, aiming to elevate the industry to new heights.
Farm to fabric to fashion to far away seas. That is the goal, that is the intent of the government of Meghalaya, and I'm proud to be in charge at the helm of affairs of this department that was once considered a minor department, but today is ensuring the livelihoods of thousands of families. As I look at the design for today's celebration, the two O's in the word handloom represent the yarn that goes through it, but it also reminds me the glasses that Gandhi wore. And he was the force behind the celebration of National Handloom Day because of the Swadeshi movement that he had initiated when he was at the peak of our fight against colonialism. And yes, Gandhi also represents the concept of ahimsa, which today has been translated into the fact that we have a peaceful weaving community which does not involve killing off the worms in the process of producing our Eri, our Munga and our India.
We want the world to know that we are not just adopting global trends but also proudly presenting our own unique creations, Lingo stated.
Our dresses made from an outfit made from Vindhya are fit for the best of the fashion world in the rest of the world. Therefore, the potential that we have is something that we would like to maximize and make our textiles, our handloom products known not just in the rest of India, but also internationally.
Special guest Dr. Anna Louis Maynell, a textiles expert from Scotland, shared her deep connection with Meghalaya's Eri silk.
Eri silk, particularly Rindhya of Meghalaya, has a very special place in my heart. I see Rindhya as unique to Meghalaya, especially the colours. The colours are very, very important to the location and the product. But also standing alongside the natural fibres of the region, because Northeast India is blessed with fascinating natural fibres. So I call this communicating Rindhya, because really communication is important in terms of increasing the awareness of Rindhya, increasing the awareness of the artisans, and increasing the awareness of the amount of work that goes into producing a textile of Rindhya.
Dr. Maynell recounted her journey beginning in 2014 with NESFAS and her subsequent work showcasing the entire production process from cocoon to final product.
My journey with Rindhya started in 2014 when I was working with Nesfas. So we presented the whole process of production from cocoon to spinning to natural dyeing, weaving and the final product. So we did an exhibition at the Indigenous Terra Madre Conference in Shillong in 2015, which really focused on the artisans and their skill. So my research, my doctoral research began in 2016. So my research really went quite deep into exploring what is the cultural significance of Rindhya in Meghalaya. So I was looking at motifs. Interestingly, a lot of the motifs in terms of how artisans, the relationships that artisans have with the motif relates back to their culture, so largely the Khasi culture, and that is fascinating to see once you go into depth into the artisan relationship with this motif and with the textiles, how much it communicates their culture. Communication of culture, of heritage, of process, and of textile heritage.
She noted the impressive growth in hand-weaving activity in the Rewa district over recent years.
I did an exhibition in Diwan in the auditorium where I invited artisans to come and share their work as well as the work that I had presented so that I could cross-reference it, make sure that I was communicating accurately according to what they would communicate themselves, but also very much making it an inclusive event. We also had an exhibition in Savio Hall in 2018 in Shillong, and that was a really important event to open it up to the local community in Shillong, and it was wonderful to see people reacting to the work that was there in the Rewa district, and many people were not actually aware of the depth of the skill, which I can see has really changed in the few years since then. I can see almost an explosion of activity of hand weaving from the Rewa district and other areas in Meghalaya, so it's wonderful to see.
Parliamentary Secretary for Textiles, FR Khar Konger, revealed that Meghalaya's Eri production has reached 11.20 lakh metric tons, making it the second highest producer after Assam.
The declaration of Umden as Meghalaya's first airy silk village back in 2021, and also the setting up of the Design Innovation Resource Center there, which showcases the entire process, farm to fiber, fiber to fabric. And also, we are very encouraged by the blossoming of local production houses who have added a new spring in the step to the textile industry here in this state, despite the challenges. There's a quantum leap in the airy production, which now stands at almost about 11,20,000 plus metric tons, and we are in fact the second highest producer of airy after Assam, and also high quality airy cocoon. Whenever an honored guest comes to our state, the first article that he receives as a sign of welcome, he or she receives, is the airy stole.
He highlighted that the sericulture and handloom sector supports approximately 35,000 families in the state, emphasizing its eco-friendly and ethically sourced nature.
We all know that tourism sector contributes to the livelihood of about 50,000, and it will be of no surprise that coming a close second perhaps in the creative industry, the sericulture and handloom sector provides livelihoods to about 35,000 people in the state, which is no mean achievement. And it's all women-driven, eco-friendly, naturally dyed, and organically produced, ethically sourced, and we hope that it continues its progress in this direction.
Kharkhangar also suggested a survey to assess the sector's contribution to the state's GDP and mentioned the launch of an e-portal to market local products online.
Today's theme of the National Handloom Day is weaving a sustainable future by integrating technology and innovation. Outside, we just had a brief glimpse of the various designs that are being introduced, the new designs, eco-printing, shibori, and so many other new innovative designs which have just been introduced to our larger canvas. So it's in line with that theme. And we also will be launching the e-portal, which will help market our local products on the digital space as well.
The state is also seeking a geographical indication tag for Rindai, with hope for a positive outcome later this year.
Rindia, handloom and sericulture sector is intrinsically linked to our culture. In fact, I would like to say that it's rooted in nature, connected to culture. And we have also applied for the GI tag for the Rindia, and hopefully we will be able to get a GI tag for Rindia.
The event featured a fashion show by KL Bajoria school students and renowned designer Daniel CM. Additionally, Minister Lingdo released the Meghalaya Textile Directory cum Textile Atlas and unveiled the department's new e-portal. The Meghalaya government continues to support and preserve the traditional methods of rearing, spinning, dyeing and weaving, ensuring the state's unique fabrics gain both recognition and appreciation. This is Lakshya Taneja with Lam Frank Nongsprung reporting from Northeast Diary from AIR News Shillong.
Now, let's experience the handloom weaving culture of Saul Kuche.
India's northeastern region has a rich hand weaving heritage. The many tribes of the northeast have their distinct weaving traditions, with their own specific designs and motifs. Most tribes have a unique weave, and the patterns vary not only within clans of the same tribe, but also from one village to another, and within members of the same clan, depending on their social status. Birds, flowers, and human figures are some of the popular motifs that are embroidered on these handloom products. Cotton is the most popular fabric across the region. Although Assam and Meghalaya are renowned for their silk handlooms as well, Saul Kuche, on the banks of the mighty Brahmaputra River and 35 km from the state capital of Assam, is the biggest silk production center in the region. Saul Kuche is a small town located in the Kamrup district of Assam, India. It is known as the Manchester of the East due to its rich tradition of handloom weaving. Saul Kuche's weavers have been creating exquisite hand-woven silk such as muga, pat, and eri for generations. Muga has a golden hue that lends richness to garments made from it and lasts for years, while eri used to make warm winter clothing. Suvalkuchi Weavers Village is also one place where the traditional art of weaving mekhela chadors and gamusa, the traditional Assamese garments made with indigenous materials, is still kept alive. A commercial weaving enclave, handloom weaving in Suvalkuchi, is said to date back to the 11th century when it was introduced under the Ahomia kings. Over the years, Suvalkuchi developed as a weaving village, its silk weavers making luxurious silks that were patronized by the local royalty. Suvalkuchi's weavers hail from both non-tribal and tribal communities, and both men and women work at the looms. The handloom products of Suvalkuchi are known for their intricate designs and patterns, which are unique to the region. The weavers of Suvalkuchi have been practicing this art for generations and have developed their own techniques and methods of weaving. The town has a rich cultural heritage and is a popular destination for tourists who are interested in learning more about traditional weaving techniques. The narrow streets of the town have homes and workshops in a seamless continuum. The streets are lined with small weaving units, producing textiles based on traditional Assamese designs. Weaving hair is mostly done on frame looms fitted with jacquard mechanisms, enabling mass production of intricate motifs. Looms are typically made of wood and bamboo. In Suvalkuchi village, with every other house turned into a small-scale workshop, one will find the residents engaged in various stages of weaving. People working the charkha to fill the bobbin with yarn will mostly definitely evoke the image of bygone era. For Northeast Diary, this is Nilofer with K. Chapola, Akashwani News, Guwahati.
Traditional handloom weaving with natural dyes and colors has been an age-old process, but contemporizing these products for present market is still upcoming. The art of hand weaving is very popular in India and particularly in Nagaland amongst the Naga women, especially in the rural areas. The Nagas are best known for their shawls in which three or more pieces are woven separately and later stitched together. This evening, we take to you to Zapami village in Fake district of Nagaland, where we will know an age-old practice of weaving made from yarn of stinging nettle plants called Thevona. And here is our correspondent giving you more information on this.
Thevona, which translates as Thevo weaves, is an old-age practice of weaving made from yarn of stinging nettle plants. Considering the rich cultural heritage and the culture and historical attachment to Thevo, Zapami village on the Pek district of Nagaland is one of the early and the original traditional knowledge holders and producers of Thevo weaves. Let us know more about this traditional weaving practice of Zapami village from Lesote Creole.
Hello, my name is Lesote Creole and I am from Zapami village. Thevo is an indigenous variety of stinging nettle plant abundantly found in the surrounding forests of Zapami village due to favorable climate and vegetation. The indigenous variety is also known as the giant Asian stinging nettles. Since ages, the ancestors extracted the organic fiber from the stinging nettle plant to weave thevora, thevo shawl. The fiber is processed through different levels to produce yarn for weaving. The raw fiber is harvested from the stinging nettle plant, and there are multiple levels of processing to produce yarn, as traditionally practiced. Since harvest, the organic fiber is refined into weavable and cloddable yarn. As per the cultural heritage, the following steps are followed from the olden times till today. The organic fiber is extracted from the bark of the thevo plant from the jungles known as thevo law. It is harvested in between November to February. Thevo weaves are appropriated into modern designs and modern traditional wears for various uses and occasions. Besides using thevora as a shawl by men folk and women folk, the recent adaptations include women wrap around and shawls, blazers for men, waistcoat, neckties, sashes, etc. for all age groups.
The knowledge of thevo weaving still remains in the collective memory of the elders in the village, and to this day the women folk of Zapami produces one of the finest and softest thevo weaves. For Northeast Diary, this is Asunyo from AIR News Kohima.
In Mizoram, the state government is spearheading a dynamic initiative to boost the cultivation and promotion of dragon fruits across the region. Our Aizol correspondent Irene brings more insights into this exciting development.
With the aim and objective of enriching the farmers' community of the state, Mizoram's Horticulture Department is working tirelessly for the promotion of dragon fruit in the state. Dragon fruit was first introduced in the state in the year 2014-15 and has been picked up by almost all the 11 districts of Mizoram. State Horticulture Department has taken up the initiative of dragon fruit cultivation and area expansion under centrally sponsored scheme like Mission for Integrated Development of Horticulture, MIDH. According to officials, the current yield is around 800 metric ton and has been exported outside the state as well. Promoting its cultivation, a three-day dragon fruit extravaganza was recently organized in Aizol. It aims to create more cultivation of the dragon fruit in the state and generation of more income by the farmers. Speaking to Akashvani News, Lel Sankini, Block Horticulture Officer, Horticulture Department, says that the government is taking up various initiatives for the promotion of dragon fruit in Mizoram. She says,
okay, dragon fruit cultivation in Mizoram started in the year 2014-15, and since then Mizoram has been a pioneer in dragon fruit cultivation, not only in the Northeast, but in India as a whole. It is successfully grown in countries like Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, Burma, and other southeastern countries. Dragon fruit is basically a climbing cactus, which grows well in warm and humid conditions, which is why it is ideally suited for Mizoram. It is commercially propagated through cuttings. It is currently being cultivated in almost all districts of Mizoram and has been particularly successful in districts like Aizol, Kolasip, Sertip, and Saitwal. With total aerial coverage of approximately 3.5 thousand hectares, the total yield as on August 24 in the state is 800 metric tons. Being an exotic crop, it has a very good market potential, not only in Mizoram but in India as a whole. In fact, the Department of Mizoram has been facilitating its export to places like New Delhi and Uttarakhand.
Mizoram has the potential for development of various horticulture projects, especially under CSS, Mission for Integrated Development of Horticulture, MIDH. Apart from dragon fruit, the State Horticulture Department is engaged in working towards the holistic growth of other horticulture sectors, covering fruits, vegetables, flowers, aromatic plants, and bamboo. Irene reporting from Aizol.
India's journey to independence is marked by countless acts of bravery and sacrifice. Today, we focus on a remarkable chapter from Manipur, where Patriots' Day is observed each August 13th. This day honors the valiant efforts of those who fought to protect their land's freedom. And to give us more insight into this significant commemoration, we turn to our Imphal correspondent, J.J. Thokcham.
The Anglo-Manipuri War of 1891 is one of the most important events in the history of Manipur. In the war against the colonial British force, many heroes of Manipur Kingdom laid down their lives to save the dignity, honor, and sovereignty of their motherland. After Manipur lost its sovereignty to the British, on 13 August of 1891, Yuvraj Tikendrajit and Thangal Jenaren were hanged in front of the public at Faidabung, presently known as B. Tikendrajit Park in Imphal. Therefore, the Patriots' Day is observed every year on August 13, giving the highest kind of tribute and honor to the heroes of Manipur. This year, the observation was held at different parts of Manipur and outside the state. However, the state-level observation was held at Imphal, in which the Governor of Manipur, Lakshman Prasad Acharya, and the Chief Minister N. Biren Singh attended. They led others in the wreath laying ceremony at Kangla Utra and flowered tributes at Shahid Minar in B. Tikendrajit Park. A guard of honor was presented by the contingents of Manipur Rifles, and solemn tribute was also offered at the memorial stone of the exiled martyrs of the 1891 war. In his address to the gathering, the governor of Manipur, Laxman Prasad Acharya, reminded us the heroic act of the people of Manipur in various battlefronts of the Anglo-Manipuri War of 1991, which showed the world of indominating courage of Manipuris. He said that education and awareness is important for upholding the values of patriotism passed down by our forefather. He said,
जहां युवराज टिकन जी और थानल जनरल को आज ही के दिन 1891 में फांसी दे दी गई, वहीं अनकिन पुखरम्बम काजाओ निरंजन सुबेदार और चिराई नागा को 25 मई 1891 8 जून 1891 और 13 अक्टूबर को सेंट्रल जेल परिसर में फांसी दे दी गई। आज हम उन सभी ज्ञात और अज्ञात लोगों के बलिदान को याद कर रहे हैं जिन्होंने अदम्य और अजेय भावना का परिचय देते हुए अपनी मातृभूमि की स्वतंत्रता के लिए अपने प्राणों की आहुति दी।
Delivering his speech in the ceremony, the Chief Minister N. Biren Singh said that there is no other thing which is more important than our motherland, and appealed to the people of the state to keep aside all differences and unitedly go together to bring peace and development in the state. Jaje Thokchom, Akashvani Samachar, Northeast Diary, Imphal.
And now it's time to listen to this beautiful rendition of Vande Mataram by Octave Band in the Northeast.
Vande Mataram, Vande Mataram, Vande Mataram, Vande Mataram. Yaha bahut sara jahan dekh liya, prakriti ke jis koi nahi.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.